Hey there. Ever feel like the cybersecurity world is speaking a completely different language?
Oh, yeah.
Frameworks, standards, acronyms galore. It's enough to make your head spin.
For sure.
But don't worry, you're not alone.
Yeah.
In this deep dive, we're going to demystify some of the biggest names in security control frameworks.
Okay.
Think of it like a cheat sheet
Right.
for understanding what keeps digital information safe.
Exactly. We'll break down the who, what, and why of these frameworks,
Okay.
and even give you some insider tips on how organizations juggle them all.
Plus, we'll uncover some surprising facts like, did you know one of the most popular frameworks doesn't even mention the cloud?
It's true, and that's a big deal in today's world, but we'll get to that.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the basics.
Sure.
What even is a security control framework, and why should you care?
Well, think of them like blueprints for building a strong security posture.
Okay.
They're created by experts and organizations to give comprehensive guidance on security.
So they're like a set of best practices.
Exactly. They help organizations do a few key things.
Okay.
Like design new security processes, make sure their existing processes align with, you know, best practices, and also ensure they're complying with all the regulations out there.
So it's like having a plan to protect information.
Yeah. Exactly.
But how does knowing about these frameworks actually help me?
Well, it's all about understanding how different organizations think about security.
Okay.
Whether you're, let's say, a tech whiz, a business leader, or just someone living in our increasingly digital world,
right.
This knowledge is super valuable.
So it's like knowing the rules of the road, even if you're not a mechanic.
That's a great analogy.
So who are the major players in this world of security frameworks?
Well, you've got COBIT, IDOL, NIST, PCI DSS, and ISO 27001.
Oh, wow.
Just to name a few.
Okay.
Each one has its own focus and strengths, kind of like specialized tools in a toolbox.
Let's start unpacking these, shall we?
Sure.
First up, COBIT.
Okay.
What's the story there?
COBIT is all about making sure IT systems are reliable, secure, and compliant.
Okay.
Think audits and making sure everything's in order.
Yeah.
It was created by ISACA, an organization of IT auditors.
Okay.
And it's often used for SOC2 audits, which many companies go through.
So it's like the auditor's checklist, making sure everything is ticked and tied.
Exactly.
Got it. What about ITIL?
Okay.
How does that one fit in?
ITIL is all about processes.
Okay.
Think onboarding new employees,
Great.
Managing who has access to what,
yeah.
and handling changes and incidents.
Okay.
It's like having smooth, secure workflows for all your IT operations.
So COBIT is about checking the boxes.
Yes.
And ITIL is about having a well-oiled machine for security processes.
Exactly.
Makes sense. Now NIST, that one sounds familiar.
NIST is developed by the National Institute of Standards and Technology.
Oh.
A U.S. government agency.
Got it.
They're like the government setting the gold standard,
yeah.
particularly with their 853 and cybersecurity framework publications. Okay.
You'll find these a lot with U.S. government agencies and companies that work with them.
Okay. Government-backed security standards.
Yeah.
That's got to be pretty thorough. What about PCI DSS?
Okay.
I feel like I've seen that one around.
You probably have. PCI DSS, or the Payment Card Industry Data Security Standard, is the global security standard for handling credit card information.
Okay.
So anytime you buy something online, PCI DSS is working behind the scenes to protect your financial data.
Uh-huh. The guardian of my online shopping.
Exactly.
Okay, on to the big one. ISO 27001.
Right.
I've heard it's kind of a big deal.
It is. ISO 27001 is like the ultimate security blueprint.
Oh, wow.
It defines something called an ISMS.
Okay.
Or an Information Security Management System.
Okay.
Which outlines the controls and processes you need for a truly secure operation.
So it's not just about having strong passwords. It's
right.
a whole system for managing security risks, right? Exactly. And what's fascinating here is that ISO 27001 shifts the focus from reacting to security threats
okay.
to proactively managing risks.
Interesting.
That's huge in today's world.
Yeah.
Where the threat landscape is constantly changing.
That's a really important point. You mentioned there's a whole ISO 27000 family.
There is. Think of it like this.
Okay.
ISO 27001 is the main framework, the what you need to do.
Right.
Then you've got others in the family that offer more specific guidance.
Okay, give me the details.
Sure.
What are some of the other key members of this ISO family?
Well, there's ISO 27002.
Okay.
Which acts as the how-to guide for implementing those ISO 27001 controls.
So it's like the instruction manual.
Exactly. And then things get really interesting with ISO 27017 and 27018.
Here's where it gets really interesting, right?
Right.
Tell me more.
Remember how many traditional frameworks don't fully address cloud security?
Yeah, they weren't really designed for that.
Exactly. ISO 27007 and 27018 are specifically designed to tackle that.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Cloud computing has changed the game entirely.
Definitely.
What are the key differences between those two?
ISO 27017 provides a cloud-specific security manual addressing things like shared responsibility and data segregation.
Got it.
It helps organizations make sure their cloud environments are locked down tight.
So it's like a specialized guide for cloud security.
Yes.
And what about 27018?
Okay.
What's its focus?
ISO 27018 is all about protecting personal data in the cloud.
Okay.
Think sensitive information like health records or financial data. It sets out guidelines for handling this data responsibly and keeping people's information safe and secure.
It sounds like the ISO family is all about comprehensive security.
Yeah.
With specialized members for specific challenges like the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But are these frameworks only for tech companies?
Not at all. Cloud computing affects almost every industry now.
That's true.
Whether it's healthcare, finance, or even your favorite online store,
right.
Chances are these ISO standards are relevant.
That makes sense. It feels like we've already covered a ton of ground.
Yeah, we have.
But we're just getting started.
Right.
We still have some US-centric frameworks to explore.
Okay.
Like COCOSO, HIPAO, and FedRAMP.
You're right.
Okay, let's dive into those US-centric frameworks.
Right.
What makes them stand out?
Well, let's start with COSO.
Okay.
It stands for the Committee of Sponsoring Organizations of the Treadway Commission.
Oh, wow. That's a mouthful.
I know, right? Their framework is all about making sure a company's financial records are accurate,
okay,
reliable, and protected from fraud.
So COSO is like the accounting watchdog.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on the books.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Now, IPA, I know that one's all about healthcare, right?
You got it. IPA, or the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act,
okay,
is a U.S. law protecting the privacy and security of patients' health information.
Right.
Any organization dealing with healthcare data,
okay,
from hospitals and insurance companies to app developers handling health records,
it needs to comply with HIPAA.
Given how sensitive our medical records are.
Oh, for sure.
That's definitely crucial. Okay, last but not least, FedRAMP.
Okay.
What's the story behind that one?
FedRAMP stands for the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program.
Okay.
It's essentially the gatekeeper for cloud services used by the U.S. government.
Got it.
They have a standardized approach to assessing, authorizing, and monitoring these cloud services, making sure they meet strict security requirements before handling any sensitive government data.
So FedRAMP is like the government seal of approval for cloud security.
Exactly.
It sounds like we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
COBIT, EIDL, NIST, PCI DSS.
Yeah.
The whole ISO 27000 family, COSO, HIPAA, FedRAMP.
It's a lot.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. And those are just some of the big names.
Right.
There are many other frameworks out there.
Wow.
Each tailored to specific industries, regions, or security needs.
It's starting to feel a bit overwhelming.
How do organizations even keep track of all these different frameworks?
Right.
And make sure they're complying with the right ones?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's a real challenge for a lot of organizations.
Okay.
Remember how we mentioned that many organizations have to comply with multiple frameworks at once?
Yes. You said it could get pretty complicated.
Yeah.
Which is definitely starting to make sense now.
Exactly. That's where framework rationalization comes in.
Framework rationalization?
Yeah.
That sounds intense.
It can be,
okay,
but it's essential.
What exactly does that involve?
It means figuring out which frameworks are truly necessary for an organization.
Okay.
Identifying any overlaps or redundancies.
Got it.
And then streamlining their processes to meet the requirements of multiple frameworks as efficiently as possible.
So it's about finding the common ground between different frameworks,
right,
and avoiding duplicate efforts.
Yeah. Exactly. It's all about finding that sweet spot where an organization can effectively manage risk and meet compliance obligations without being buried under a mountain of paperwork and conflicting requirements.
Right.
It's like creating a master blueprint that incorporates the most important elements from each individual framework.
That sounds like a delicate balancing act.
It is.
Are there any tools or strategies that organizations can use to make this rationalization process easier?
There are. There's specialized software that can help map controls from different frameworks,
okay,
identify gaps, and track compliance efforts.
Mm.
Some organizations also bring in consultants who specialize in framework rationalization.
Interesting.
It's a growing field as the number of frameworks and the complexity of the security landscape continue to increase.
So it's about finding ways to simplify and streamline the process.
Right.
While still ensuring a high level of security.
Yeah.
It sounds like a critical skill for security professionals and business leaders today.
Absolutely. Mm. As we continue to depend more and more on technology and interconnected systems,
right,
framework rationalization will only become more important.
It definitely feels like the need for these frameworks is only going to grow in the future.
For sure.
We've learned about what security control frameworks are, why they're important,
yeah,
and explored some of the most common ones out there.
Right.
What are some key takeaways you think our listeners should walk away with from this deep dive?
I think the biggest takeaway is that security control frameworks are not just abstract concepts.
Okay.
They're the backbone of how we protect information in our digital world.
That's true.
These frameworks are the blueprints for building trust and resilience in a world that relies so heavily on data and interconnected systems.
Yeah.
Understanding these frameworks, even at a high level,
right,
can help us navigate this complex landscape and make more informed decisions about our own security and privacy.
That's a great point. It's easy to get lost in the alphabet soup of acronyms.
It is.
But the core principles behind these frameworks are really about good security practices. And that's something everyone can benefit from understanding.
Yeah.
It's like learning the language of security,
yeah,
so you can be a more informed participant in this digital world.
Exactly. And it's not about memorizing every single detail of every framework.
Right.
What's important is understanding the spirit of these frameworks,
yeah,
the why behind them, the underlying principles of good security practices.
So it's more about grasping the big picture,
yeah,
the overall goals and strategies, rather than getting bogged down in the minutiae.
Absolutely. And here's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
As technology evolves, these frameworks will have to evolve as well.
Makes sense.
Think about it.
Yeah.
New threats are constantly emerging.
Right.
New regulations are being put in place.
Uh-huh.
And new ways of working, like the cloud, require new approaches to security.
It's true.
It's a constantly changing landscape.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
It's like a never-ending game of cat and mouse between the good guys and the bad guys.
Okay.
So how can our listeners stay up to date on these evolving frameworks and best practices?
Well,
any advice?
There are tons of great resources out there. Industry organizations like ISICA and NIST publish updates and guidance on their frameworks.
Okay.
Security conferences and webinars are fantastic ways to learn from experts and stay on top of trends.
Yeah, those can be really helpful.
And of course, there are podcasts like this one that break down complex topics into bite-sized pieces.
Okay, that's us.
Exactly.
Always happy to help demystify the world of cybersecurity.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of security control frameworks,
okay,
what's one final thought you want to leave our listeners with?
You know, we've talked a lot about protecting data,
right,
building secure systems, and yeah, complying with regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But as our world becomes increasingly reliant on technology, mm-hmm, it's important to remember that security isn't just about technical controls.
Right.
It's also about people, ethics, and responsible innovation.
That's such an important point.
Yeah.
Security is a human issue,
mm-hmm,
not just a technological one.
Right.
We need to think about the ethical implications of how we collect.
Yeah.
Store and use data.
For sure.
We need to build systems that are not just secure, mm-hmm, but also respect privacy and individual rights.
Exactly. As we move forward, the conversation around security needs to expand beyond just technical details.
Right.
We need to consider the broader societal impact of our choices.
Yeah.
And work together to create a digital world that is both secure and trustworthy.
Well said. So, yeah, to our listeners.
Yeah.
As you continue your own exploration of the ever-evolving world of cybersecurity,
mm-hmm,
remember that it's a journey, not a destination.
Right.
Stay curious, keep learning, and don't be afraid to ask questions.
And remember, the most secure systems are built on a foundation of knowledge,
okay,
awareness, and a commitment to responsible innovation.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into security control frameworks. We hope you learned something new, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive into the fascinating world of all things digital.